Hey, it's Chaz and AJ in the morning.
Hey, what's going on?
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Here are some of the best parts from today's show.
Listen to it, please. Thank you.
And please subscribe, share, like, comment, all that stuff.
All of it, please.
Thank you.
So it's like I have a big screen 3D television right now.
Oh my God, they are everywhere.
It's Dennis House, Channel 3.
Good morning, gentlemen. Morning. It is so great to see you guys.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
I feel like this is family being here.
Yeah.
Because I've known you guys a long time.
Right.
Well, you're one of our favorite cousins. You know, when you come over, it's like, hey, it's a brother. Hey,
yeah, we're back. We're back. Yeah. And this is a familiar place. You know, PLR, you know, just when you hear the, like, I love the Batman music on the traffic. Right. Right. I'm glad that has never changed.
Right. No, 17 years this month.
Yeah.
Yep. In fact, what? I believe this is yesterday was the anniversary.
Are you serious?
Yeah, February 3rd.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible.
I'm not the person to ask.
Yeah, we'll have to find out.
Thanks for coming in.
Great to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Obviously, good. It's been a tough 58 days or whatever it is now since Denise passed.
Right.
I want to thank you very much for reaching out right after it happened and having me on, which I wasn't sure I wanted to do, but I'm glad I spoke to you.
I'm glad you did.
A couple days afterwards. So.
I think Connecticut needed to hear you off script and hear that you were okay. You know?
Well, I thought to myself, would Denise want me to do this? And I think she would. She would want her story out there. And
you guys
were
really tight.
Yeah, very close.
We were.
Yeah.
She was like a sister to me.
Yeah.
And we worked together for 27 years. We were anchors for 25 years. And as a young 20-something reporter, she took me under her wing and she taught me a thing or two about reporting and live shots. And over time, we just became really good friends, like a sister. She became sisters, like with Kara. And it was just an amazing relationship. And I miss her dearly. Every day, there's 10 things I'd like to tell her.
Yeah.
And I can't.
I think it says a lot. And you said this on the air, so I'm not talking out of school. But when Denise died, her husband Wayne called you and asked you to sit there in the house as he drove to tell his daughter in person.
It's true.
And when you're that person that he calls, that just says everything you need to know.
Yep.
I know.
Now, you did a beautiful eulogy, and you told a story about a sign. There was a sign on your way over there.
Denise believed in the afterlife.
Yeah.
She believed in signs. She was very close to her dad, and when he died, she would look for signs from him, and she would see them in various forms. But when I was driving there to her house, I mean, that day was just absolutely awful. And when he called me and said that she'd passed away and could I come down? I came down to the house, and when I got there, I was driving there asking for a sign from Denise, and I pulled off the highway in Brantford, and there it was, this Oldsmobile Toronado, which, Jay, you would know this.
Yeah.
They're kind of rare.
Yeah,
you don't see them.
Yeah.
No.
You might go on Craigslist and not find one for weeks.
Right.
But there it was in the lawn with a for sale sign, and I knew Denise knew that I would notice that.
Right.
And that we had talked about that car recently, and you know, there's this image that news anchors drive these fancy cars and all that. And she had this Olds Toronado when I started there, and she liked it.
Practical, front wheel drive and everything. Yeah.
It was the only time AJ spoke during your eulogy. When you said that, AJ said, that's a rare car.
Yep.
It is rare.
He's right, very rare.
And for me to see it right after that in her town.
That's a sign.
Was a sign,
that
I thought.
That was a huge sign. Yeah.
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 Quiet? No.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what struck me is the orb, the LifeStar helicopter.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Oh, I got chills. Yeah. I still get chills when I think of that.
And I need to show you the picture of my cat, of our cat with the rays coming in. I talked about that. So this one morning, Kara and I were sitting talking about Denise, and the cat was going nuts, looking at the ceiling and talking to something in the ceiling in the corner. And he jumped on the table up to the refrigerator, which was kind of a big leap.
Yeah.
And he got really close to it, and he's talking to it. And we're like, what does he see?
The cat's gone bats. Yeah.
So we saw nothing. I took a picture, and when you look at the picture, you see these golden rays coming in the window from a weird angle.
Wow.
And so I truly believe that there are signs out there, and we can't really understand it. I think we have these images from movies where when you die, you're sitting on the clouds, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know that it's that cut.
Three musketeers and a harp, yep.
Yeah, I don't know that it's quite that way, but what do we know?
It's energy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you had that, or how many times have you had that moment where you're at the desk and you're on and you're thinking you're throwing it over to her, and because it's just a reflex?
Well, it's interesting. I did say her name once in the week after she passed. And it just was a reflex, as you said. I mean, I'm used to it now that she's gone. It doesn't make it any easier.
No.
Right. And every day, you know, like my locker where we keep our makeup and stuff is right next to hers. Her desk is next to mine. Sometimes I'll pull in and I would always see her car. And if you get the front spot at Channel 3 in the back, she used to call it Princess Parking.
Oh, nice.
And if I ever got that, she would always text me as soon as she got in. I see we have Princess Parking right. today.
And I'm like, you stole my space, you bastard.
So yeah. When I get that spot now, it was just a funny thing because she had a great sense of humor. And she loved alliteration and she just loved having fun and the simple things in life, you know?
Right.
You didn't need, sex or dirty things to be funny. She just found funny things.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah. Although we've done a couple of live remotes with you and Denise, and we'd be hanging out off the air, and you guys were edgy.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, they talk
boy,
like that?
If they were on Channel 3 right now.
I'm just standing my mouth. Like,
I think
oh my
someone
God.
Would call them into an office.
Well, hey, you know, I mean, you know, we did have a lot of bathroom humor.
Yes. Yeah.
She was really into that. She found that really funny. In fact, here's another sign. So Denise loved to give gag gifts.
Right.
And to me anyway. And she, you know, a couple of remote controlled whoopee cushions, the fart machines, we call them.
Right. Things like that.
And there was one in our nightstand at home. And Kara was taking her rest the other day. And she said, all of a sudden, it just went off. It hadn't been used in ages.
Wait a minute.
And there it was.
Oh, sure. Batteries with that. Maybe it was Dennis.
Oh, sure. Blame the fart machine.
Yes.
Yeah. It was a
sign. It was a sign. It was Denise.
All right, then where's the smell coming from?
But she loved stuff like that and stuff like that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You know?
That's awesome.
So,
Kara, when you say Kara Sunland, your wife, mm-hmm. who also you co-anchor with at times.
Yes, I do.
First of all, how did you guys meet? Did you meet at Channel 3?
We did meet at Channel 3. And
is there any HR problems with that? Or?
No, you know, Channel 3 is more than a business. It really is a family. We've had no fewer than at least 5 couples who've met there and been married.
And sometimes people go there and they stay there.
Yeah, and they do stay there, and you become brotherly and sisterly. And part of it is that we bond during really awful times, like the Newtown Massacre, the Sandy Hook Massacre. We all had to work together.
Yeah.
And that was an emotional day.
Yeah, you get
and
close to it.
So you spend it with, you know, the people you're working with. Snowstorms, you know, we're there, we're at the hotel, we're having breakfast together, we're doing, you know, dinner together and then working all day together.
So is that how it happened? So you were single, she was single?
Yes, and we met.
How old were you?
I was 35, and I met her. She started, we had a lot in common right off the bat, and Denise went over there, as Kara mentioned in her comments at the memorial, that she said, do you have a boyfriend? She was just, you know, asking for me.
Yeah.
And Kara and I became great friends right after that. And then we started dating. And so that was 20 years ago this year.
Nice.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Happy anniversary.
20 years ago we met. So,
wow. Nice.
Yeah.
That goes by fast.
It does go by
fast. I always wonder, is it awkward when she gets a little annoyed with you, which husbands will do to wives? You're at the desk now?
Just give her more answer, you go throw to her?
Right. Well, listen,
what?
Wives do get annoyed with husbands. And I may be many things, but, you know, like I'm not very good at making the bed. There are some things, and maybe guys can agree with me on this, but like when I unload the dishwasher, there's some things that I just never know where they go.
Right. Yeah, me too. Right. And, I just leave a little pile in the counter.
I mean, seriously. Right. I just never know where they go.
Yeah.
So
you don't
I always
misplace them because then that makes it worse.
Yes. Sure. So I just put them on the on the island there, and Kara's like, why didn't you put the Tupperware away? I'm like, so my line is, I'm not very good at that. I'm good at putting the forks and the knives away
I
and
know
the dishes
that is, right?
and all that.
That
so, you know, at work, I'm sure we've had something, but she, you know, nothing comes to mind where she scolded me on the air or something like that. Make sure you take the trash out.
Right.
I am good at taking the trash out.
You guys are professional.
I'm very good at taking the trash out.
And now here's the story.
But if there's ever a time where you're not professional on air, can you please send us the audio? Yeah,
I certainly will. I certainly will. And the thing is, and you know what it's like, you know, we have these portable microphones. Mm-hmm. And so if you don't turn them off, they're going to. You know,
right.
Scott Haney's been caught in the bathroom and all these other things. And, you know, when you leave the studio, you have to make sure that you turn them off because they can hear certain things.
Everything, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Channel 3 studio, Dennis House.
Amazing.
How I love to drive my Buick.
Oh, that's funny.
Now, you still have this in your car?
I don't.
No.
I don't. I do not have that in my car.
Oh. Give a car.
Yeah, I get a bunch. Well,
I picture
I'm down to 3 cars.
The House family going on vacation in the station wagon. And you with and Kara trim. And the kids with are the all trim. Singing this.
Yeah. Country Squire, perhaps?
It's like right out of Vacation.
Well, you had the Regal, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, one of my things is I want to bring back Woody Wagons.
Oh, yeah.
I really do.
Who doesn't?
I mean, Jeep is coming out with the Grand Wagoneer, what, next year or the year after, yeah. something like that. So presumably they'll offer some sort of wood trim on that, you would think.
I don't know if they'll go that retro on it, to be honest with you.
Really?
Well, yeah.
See, I think that they should, because I think retro's out there, and listen, you should be able... It's a choice. You don't like it, don't buy it.
Exactly. Right. I mean, it could be an option, but I haven't seen any wood trim in years.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. Yeah.
Well, we got a car this past spring, and I had wood trim put on it.
Oh, nice. What was
it? It's a Buick Enclave. I turned it into a. There's pictures on Instagram. You got to check it out.
The Royal Family Truster.
They've done a couple of articles on it, but I wanted the Jeep Wagoneer, and I can't wait that long for that. So my lease was up, so I'm like, so the guys at Scranton Motors, they said, well, we can turn that into a Woody, and they did. So it's pretty cool.
Right.
How much did that cost?
Cost about an extra $1,600, which Kara thought was foolish.
Right.
But
it makes you happy.
But exactly. She said, listen, if you sell the old Roadmaster, we can do it, which I kind of still have.
So. Right.
Yeah. But, all right. Well, you're working on it.
Working on that.
Right. What your Roadmaster?
It's a 96.
Oh, okay.
With the rear-facing row and all that.
Gotcha.
So.
Definitely.
What was your first car?
My very first car was a hand-me-down from my parents. It was a Mercury Montego.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what year?
Wow.
It was a 74.
Oh, I had one of those, a 20-engine out of it. Yeah. I had a 351 Windsor in it, so I took it out and put it in my 68 Cougar.
Yeah, that was nice. it was my mom's. And then I got a, when they got a new one down the road, I got a Mercury Monarch, which was like a Granada.
Yeah, that was the Mercury version of the Granada, yeah.
Right. And then we had a Country Squire that, looking back on it, I kind of wish I got but my brother got that one.
Gotcha.
So it's a Ford Country Squire.
Yeah, which
what
was
year
brown.
Was that?
That was a 1980.
Right.
Oh, okay.
It was a 1980. Wagon. It was relatively modern, so to speak.
Yeah. Had fat bumpers on it, the square headlights.
Yeah, but I really did like that car.
Yep.
And but my brother got that. So. Right.
My first car was a 1972 Country Squire station wagon.
Aren't they great?
Oh, I loved it.
That was the LTD nose, right?
Yeah.
Yep. Those go for a lot of money now.
They do now, yes.
They really
they're
do.
Not around.
Yeah.
I bought mine for $150.
That was a standard thing, though, when you bought a car. Like, my first car was $100. I used my high school ring money to buy the car. I was supposed to buy a ring, and instead I saw the 66 Ford Fairlane 500 two-door hardtop in the auto shop, like the little corral they had.
Oh, yeah.
And I asked about it. The guy goes, yeah, we're going to take it apart from the class. I'm like, you want to sell it? He goes, how much you got? I go, $100. Pulled it out of my hand. I couldn't pull the cash out. It was gone. He goes,
all right. He probably would have sold it to you for $30.
He goes, all right, where do you live? I told him, like, right down the street. Dropped the car at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Parked the car in my driveway. Thank you.
Wow.
I stumbled upon this great website, barnfinds.com.
Oh, barnfinds is awesome,
It just showed up my Facebook feed one day, probably because I'm always Googling these images of what...
Kevin Hogan was on that a lot, too. Yeah,
yeah. And it's amazing. Like, you never know what's in someone's garage.
Yeah.
But there might be, like, a 40-year-old car with 15,000 miles.
Oh, they recently found a Boss 429 Mustang Survivor Orange, Hugger Orange, sitting in the garage.
Wow.
That's a major find.
You have to have crazy money to get that car, though, because you're just going to let it sit. You don't want to be the one to put the miles on it.
Right.
So it's just going to be a showpiece.
If it's a Survivor, I would flip it immediately. I mean, because that's what guys want. They want the patina. Yeah. They want the dirt still on it.
Right.
They want it exactly the way you found it. If there's mouse droppings in the back seat, keep the mouse droppings in the back seat. They want it that way.
Yeah.
They want it like it was just like pulled out of a time capsule.
Like a museum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. One of my elderly neighbors who has since passed away has like this warehouse out in Cromwell or something like that. And he saved a lot of the cars he bought.
Oh, man.
Dating back to 1940.
I wish I had
and
my cars.
He just put it in the garage.
Yeah, some folks
and
do
And then
farmers.
He would get a new car. And if you like, so he saved about 10 to 12 cars over the years. And his kids all have them now. And they're. But just imagine if you saved your first car.
Wow.
Somewhere in a pristine garage.
Well, my second car was a 1966 Mustang convertible.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Beautiful.
Now, I wish I still had that one.
Beautiful.
I wish I saved all 56 cars that I had so far.
56
cars, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
My first new car was an 86, right out of college, an 86 Buick Skyhawk. And it was really cool. It was silver and black. And had these striped seats that I fell in love with.
I'm trying to picture what that looks like.
The Skyhawk.
It's almost like a Chevy Cavalier type of Pontiac Sunbird type of variant.
Okay.
It was kind of a rare car.
Okay. It was a four-cylinder? It was a four-banger?
It was a four-cylinder. Yeah, it was a T-type. It was really sporty looking. And,
it's a four-cylinder. You're going up the hill. You can't have the air conditioning on.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But, no, if you have a carload of people. Cool. But I love that car.
Yeah.
And it had this little button that you would push, and the tape storage thing would come out for cassette tapes.
Yeah.
Cassettes.
And you stay for days, like, watch this, babe.
Yeah.
Actually, what was your first car?
It was a 2001 red Volkswagen Beetle.
Oh.
Nice.
And now you have a Beetle again. So.
That I got for my
16th
birthday.
Oh, you're a Volkswagen person.
I am. I like the little Beetles. Yeah.
Far from Nugent, yes.
Those Beetles, they're stopped making them, right?
I know. They're making them.
This year they dropped it, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
But it really hasn't been a Beetle in years.
Well, the new model took out the little vase for the flowers. That was the best part.
Oh, they did?
Now, if you're a dude, that was your stash box.
Dennis doesn't know what that means.
No idea.
All right, so let's talk about this Denise Foundation.
So Denise and I used to talk about if we ever came into large sums of money, what we would do, and we both agreed that we would have a foundation and just, you know, give it, you know, I mean, take care of your family and all that. And,
AJ, would you have a foundation?
Bills. Yeah, they... Give AJ Maloney Foundation.
Yeah, you know, you got to give back. And, you know, Denise was a big fan of giving back, as am I. So after she died, her husband decided to create the Denise Foundation. It's the Denise DeCenzo Foundation, but online you'll find it the Denise Foundation because she knew that DeCenzo was misspelled her whole life.
I still can't spell it right.
Yeah, no. it's difficult. And she knew that. So it's going to be some fun events during the year. We don't know what yet. We've created a small board, which I'm honored to be on, with Denise's daughter, a couple of politicians, Stu McDowell. And so we're going to get the thing launched and then create a real board and then some events. So there'll be like a big event every year, probably in and around Denise's birthday on January 30th.
Nice.
Then we'll have something in the summer and maybe something in the fall. So that's what we're working on.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we've got a lot of people on board who want to help. Donations are already coming in. So go to the DeniseFoundation.com. Check it out. Again, it's in its formative stages.
I love those clips that were getting played. And you were sitting next to Denise when she made the announcement that she was pregnant.
Yes.
And then here you are now working on the board with her. It's like a blink of an eye.
So much together.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Just the ups and the downs and of our lives. And we were always there for each other. You know, she didn't have any brothers. I didn't have any sisters. All her sisters are D names. Even her pet chicken was Daisy.
Yep. So, it became bitter.
You know, she loved that chicken.
Yeah, it became bitter. Right.
She had a dog, too, apparently.
Dumplings.
That was there longer. But the chicken, she always talked about Daisy the chicken, and it became ornery, and they had to get rid of it. But so I asked the sisters, I said, is there a picture of that chicken anywhere? And there was.
Nice.
So.
Yeah, that was very impactful. And it says to how much Channel 3 felt about her, the way that unfolded, the pictures, the tributes, the speeches.
And all the people that came out.
Yeah.
You know, that also showed.
It's a family. You know, our general manager, Dana Neves, was an intern there one summer with Denise and me.
She was great.
She was great.
You don't think a general manager, like, no offense, but you don't think it, you know, she was, expectations were low and she delivered real high.
Oh, she really did. No, she was great.
She crushed,
and
man.
She's
awesome.
More than a GM because I think she grew up there. She left for a short time to work for ESPN. She was one of my roommates in a beach house, a share house one summer years ago.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like that at Channel 3. There's a lot of like friendships and deep friendships like you probably have here at WPLR.
Yeah. Dennis, thanks for coming in, brother.
Yeah,
appreciate it. It's so great to see you guys. And
we're here for the foundation, too, if there's anything we can do.
Oh, we're going to drag you out. We're going to drag
Excellent.
You out to like
cool.
you know, down by the beach and you guys will be singing the Carpenters or something.
Awesome. Yeah, you remember that.
I do.
Dennis, that was Channel 3. Man, a lot has happened regarding Fotis Doulis over the last week.
Yeah.
He attempted to commit suicide and then he died.
Succumbed to it, yeah.
And then the note was released Friday.
Right.
On the show now is attorney Norm Pattis. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
How did you come about the note? Did the police have that or do you find that during your inspection of the house? How does that happen?
I can't comment on that, but it's his note.
Okay. Were you struck by anything that was in the note?
Yeah. I was struck by the fact that of his great love and loyalty, even in the end, to Michelle, and that his insistence that neither he nor she had anything to do with Jennifer's death, which candidly, I believe, for reasons that in due course will become apparent.
In due course. So this is, for you, not over yet?
Not by a long shot. It's personal.
Gotcha.
This, you've been doing this for a long time. This one seems different.
Well, you know, I've had clients kill themselves before. I remember a man many years ago who just was overcome with anger at certain judgments that had been made in a family court against him. And he took his own life. And this is a man I got to know well, and I took that hard. In Mr. Doulos' case, I think he was killed because he died. He killed himself in part because we abandoned our ideals. He was tried and convicted in a court of public opinion. And every inference was drawn against him, even inferences that, in my view, were unfair. He knew, as I know, a story that has yet to be told. And I think when that story is told, a lot of people are going to wonder whether we hounded this man unnecessarily to death. So I feel very deeply about this case.
When that story is it seems like the state's case against him has dropped now. So why wouldn't you just tell that story now?
Well, we did something unusual, and it's unlikely to succeed, but the family has asked me to do everything that I can lawfully to vindicate him. So upon his death, we filed a motion to substitute his estate for him. And that's a common move in a civil case where a party dies. You substitute the estate to wrap up the person's affairs, and claims that they were involved in, both claims that they have against others and claims against them, can proceed on that basis. That does not happen typically in criminal cases, and it doesn't because the state's interest in a criminal case is obviously punishment, deterrence, both specific and in general, rehabilitation and protection of the public. Those interests are moot in the death of a defendant. But the defendant had interests, had liberty interests in the criminal case, and that liberty includes and is constitutionally recognized under the 14th Amendment, reputational interest. Mr. Doulos has a reputational interest that survives his death in the form of his legacy, and we're going to ask that the criminal case proceed so that he can seek vindication. Don't forget for a moment that I'm under a gag order in this case. The state wasn't gagged with its warrants and releasing them to the press.
Even after
the state was able to pick and choose from the facts that it thought made a circumstantial case against Mr. Doulos, and Mr. Doulos was barred from responding. We want an opportunity to respond. So on Friday, that motion, I believe, will be argued in Stamford. If it's denied and the case is dismissed, it'll be dismissed over our objection and we'll take an appeal. The likelihood of success on that front is remote for us. So then we will turn to the State Claims Commission and ask for permission to sue the state for purposes of vindication. If that's denied, then we'll consider other options. Up to and including publication of material. But the family is clear, and I think for good reason. Mr. Doulos did not procure or arrange the death of his wife, and there is no evidence to suggest he did. You know, I know people have read in the warrants that he was in the red truck up and down the Merritt Parkway. There's no evidence that he was in that truck. There just is not. It's not entirely clear that that's the red truck that it was at its house. That's an argument, and a jury could conclude that that's the case, but you have to make certain assumptions, and we don't think those assumptions are reasonable. So, I mean, there's more to say, a lot more to say, and at the appropriate time we'll say it, but we're still under a gag order.
So you're still under a gag order, and once this case, whatever, this takes its course, and if it doesn't go your way, how will you present this evidence? It seems like you could just go on this show or a show and talk about it.
So I don't know, Chaz and AJ, you know, I mean, I didn't see the suicide coming. I'd planned for a trial. That trial is unlikely to take place. And I've been preoccupied for the last week with helping his family make the arrangements necessary. And just haven't really had a chance to turn my attention to thinking about what happens next. It's been happening fast and in real time. So there's time, and we'll take the time to do it right.
Would you say
there's a larger story to tell, and we're eager to tell it? We thought a jury would be the place. Hopefully it still will be. I suspect we won't get the rulings we want this week. But we'll find a way. I'm a pretty creative guy.
Would you say that this part of the story that you have is indisputable? Like, do you have evidence that is clear and very solid?
I don't have yes and no. Parts of it are, and parts of it are still a work in progress. We had hoped to try the case in September, and there's some work that needs to be done, but we know where we're headed, and we're going to get there one way or another.
Did you have a last conversation? Well, you had a last conversation with him, but during that conversation, didn't he talk to you about how that bond hearing might go and what his chances of going back to jail were?
You know, I don't want to comment on confidential and privileged communications. I mean, I think that there's no question in my mind that Mr. Dulos knew there was a realistic possibility of returning to prison that day.
And now the house seems to be in dispute.
Well, that's an interesting issue. The family is going to be leaving and returning to Greece very soon. And, you know, there is a receiver appointed by the bank because the house is in bankruptcy. You know, that this man walks onto the property yesterday, takes pictures of the garage and promptly gives them the media. Motion will be filed today to oust him in the favor of someone with a modicum of professional respectability. Whether there's a serious dispute about where the house goes, I don't know. You know, Mr. Dulos has to have an estate created. We have filed to create an estate for him. Gloria Farber and her family have filed to create an estate. The press has reported there's dueling estates. I don't know that there are dueling estates. There are the affairs of a man who need to be wound up. And the estate is how you do that. So we'll let the probate court sort that out.
Well, it just, you would think after his death, it would be the end of it. It sounds like it's just getting started.
Yeah, really, it's beginning.
Who was it, the person that took the pictures on the property?
Here's the situation. Ironically, we have still yet to be provided with any of the discovery from the state about what took place in New Canaan the day Jennifer disappeared. We were due to begin to receive that material last week. The state now takes the position that because of his death, we're not entitled to it. So the state keeps its secrets while gagging us. And, you know, that just it's not going to stand. I will get that discovery one way or the other, no matter how long it takes. We are going to get answers about what happened.
Colangelo was the prosecutor and now is the state's attorney, right?
The chief state's attorney, yes.
Right. So he's going to be making decisions on this.
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to work out
That's
for
gonna
you.
Be tough, yeah. It's going to be a tough one.
Your adversary is now making decisions.
You got your work cut out for this.
Well, look, I mean, he makes his decisions, I make mine, and then when we disagree, a judge ultimately decides. So, I mean, and Rich is a good man. I supported his bid for chief state's attorney. I know him to be an honest man and a man of integrity, and he helped us a great deal. Like, we were having some difficulty getting access to Mr. Dulos' home. Because an evidence officer who had the key had left for the day, and he put a call into the police chief to have the guy come in on overtime to give us the key. Little things like that that Mr. Colangelo didn't have to do and did suggest that he's a man of enormous integrity. And that's the man I know. I know he's been an adversary of mine for a quarter of a century or more, and I have tremendous respect for him. He's doing the job that he's paid to do and making the calls that he thinks are correct. I simply think he's wrong with respect to Mr. Dulos, and I want a neutral fact finder to listen not just to the evidence that's been cherry-picked, but to all the evidence. And when all the evidence is before a jury, Mr. Dulos will be exonerated.
And the chances of a jury hearing this and seeing the evidence, real low,
in the criminal
right?
case are low. You know, we're contemplating other potential actions. But we will get Mr. Dulos' story out, and we will get the story about what happened the day Jennifer disappeared out, one way or the other.
There are two other defendants now, and some of that evidence will come out during their trials now.
Don't know what, you know, the state's case against Mr. Mwinney is vanishingly thin. I doubt that it'll be submitted to a jury in the end. As to Ms. Trakonis, I believe the state will pursue charges against her. And we'll see what it can produce there.
All right, Norm, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. Vince the Bookie is on, and I'm glad we're not going to get our legs broken.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
We had a national anthem bet.
We did.
It was my first real bet with a bookie.
Yeah, I never did before in my life. Nope, I played lotto. That's it.
And so I was sweating it, and we won.
Yep.
And we get $37.50 each.
Nice.
So... when do we get our money?
Shortly.
Shortly. Now, what happens if someone tells you that?
Friday's typically payday. Friday, Saturday. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
See the people who have to pay, and then we got to pay the people who we need to see. So,
okay.
You guys actually did a pretty good job because that total came way down. It went from what was it, 204.5?
Yeah.
It went all the way down to, I think, a minute 55. Like, so people were betting the under. So you guys were on the shop side of the thing, so to speak.
Got in early enough, and Phil did some research, so good for us.
Right. Yes, really.
Yeah, so, we bet on the length of the vocals in the national anthem.
Yeah, Phil gets $38, just, you know.
Yeah, Phil Googled the win, so to speak.
Exactly, yeah. So he gets an extra quarter.
What did you like the least about the Super Bowl from a bookie perspective?
Well, we paid that prop for J-Lo to show butt cleavage, which I don't even understand, but we paid it anyways. That was a winner, so right. I wasn't too happy about that because a lot of people bet that. What did I and I got smoked, to be blunt. So, I mean, I wrote a bunch of Kansas City money, so it was kind of awful on my end.
Gotcha. Oh. You gotta get a second job now or what?
Oh.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm on my way to an interview now.
Exactly. Walmart really looks familiar.
Okay, when I walk into the casinos, I see chandeliers that are more expensive than any house I'll ever own.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you know, even if I win good and leave, they're still making
it.
I mean,
you're still
okay.
Right. It wasn't catastrophic, to be honest. I did make a lot of money on the props because there's a lot of crazy ones.
Yep.
So that's the great thing about these props. It doesn't hurt as much typically because you can be one-sided on the game and people will just bet all the most craziest of choices on those sheets. So, you know, don't feel too bad for me, guys, you know?
Okay, don't cry for Vince. Yeah.
What were some of the crazier prop bets?
Just like, you know, who to score the first touchdown. That kid was, I think, 8-1. You know, that pays well. And people tend to bet the biggest underdog. They want value for their dollar. So, you know, they don't bet favorites. They want to bet where they get some return on their money for rare things to happen. Years ago, there was a prop for the first score of the game to be a safety. It was 200-1, and it happens.
Oops.
I mean, so if you put it, you know, you put $100 down, you know, you're making a lot of money.
Was there any Tom Brady prop bet?
You know what? There was hundreds of them. I'm sure there
were. Like how many times he got mentioned or who he mentioned first?
Exactly. Are they going to show him?
Right.
Will he be with Giselle? Will he be holding her hand? Who knows? I'm sure there was. I mean, there was literally hundreds of them, so I can't really speak to that.
So would you say the Super Bowl is like tax day for an accountant for a bookie?
Tax day. Well, yeah, because
it's like the biggest day
because everybody's in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's the April 15th of the gaming world. Sure.
Right. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
What's the next big day coming up for you?
March Madness. I mean, it's awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's you know, people like don't go to work or they just sit on their computer.
They get vasectomies. Yep.
Well, I know you got to go. We'll be sending a friend named Keith Dakin up to get our money.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm worried.
Hey, you're talking to death. He's got a loud voice.
That's true.
We have a headache.
I'll pay him in cheese steaks for you guys.
Allie with the Richfield Playhouse.
Yay.
Hey.
Who wants to play the Ryder game?
Me.
1-877-764-2535. You connect the artist with the Concert Ryder item, and you get to go to that show.
Smooth.
It's
some
that
good
easy.
Shows, too.
And you get multiple choice.
Exactly,
so,
right. So,
yeah.
Cool, chance or you'll hit it.
You guys always have a lot of shows. I don't know how you
a lot of shows.
How do you keep track of all of them?
I don't keep track.
Do you ever drive to the Richfield Playhouse and... Oh, yeah, that's right. There's a show tonight.
Marshall Tucker's here.
So the other day, we actually had two sold-out events in one day. On Saturday, we had the Met Opera, Porgy and Bess, which was sold out.
Right. Sounds like my speed.
That was during the day. And then that night, we had, I think it was like Vic DiBattista or someone.
Oh,
or,
cool.
Yeah, or
nice.
Like the 60s show. It might have been the 60s show. And that was sold out. And then the night before, we also had Get the Let Out, and that was sold out.
Wow.
So we had a Thursday night, a Friday night, two things on Saturday, and they were all sold out.
And Monday was pass out.
Who in those 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we had over 2,000 people in our venue.
Damn.
What band or which bands, when you see them on the schedule, you think to yourself, we have to order more alcohol. Who has the biggest drinking crowd?
So Get the Let Out people did pretty good because that was a Thursday night, and we did
probably $5,000 at the bar.
Wow.
And they don't think about it. They're not there
to drink.
Right. So they come right before the show.
Yeah. They're not standing at the bar.
They're not hanging out.
Right. Yeah.
They come right before the show and then during intermission. And that's really it. So you got
that's
like
it.
20 minutes of intermission. Maybe they show up like a half an hour, 20 minutes before the show.
Right.
It's like a lot.
That's a lot of money. That's very fast.
That's not bad at all. It's a lot of drinking.
Yeah. Good tips, too.
So,
or you're charging $1,000 per beer.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, two beers.
No, we're not. We actually have a very, very good
pricing. Oh, no, your prices are great.
Yeah. At our bar.
Yeah.
Because I've been to other places where it's like crappy wine and very expensive.
Yeah,
and
box
there's
wine.
Nothing that pisses me off. Look, I don't mind paying. Like, I get it. You know, whatever. But don't charge me a lot of money and then give me crappy wine.
Yeah, no well drinks.
Like, at least make it good.
Yeah.
We at least have good wine.
Yeah, it's almost like you just want to dump it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we sell little splits of Moët. I mean, if I'm going to have champagne at my place.
Yeah, you got to have champagne. You're a champagne person.
I want it to be good.
Yeah, no rack drinks either, man.
Yeah, so anyway. Right.
Joe the Barber.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, ready to roll.
All right. So
I think Joe has a phone surgically attached to the side of his head.
I
think
he does.
He's always the first caller.
Really?
He is. Yeah.
So fascinating, Joe.
All right,
Joe.
Secret
love to talk to you guys.
I appreciate it.
No haircut right now, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, which act needs tequila and toenail clippers in their dressing room?
Is it a song? Tequila and toenails with a Jimmy Buffett?
So Jared and I were talking about this. We're like, is it for grooming purposes, or is he like use them to fix a guitar? Like, what is it for?
Oh, the guitar strings.
I don't know.
The guitar strings off.
I assumed it was to clip
his
toenail.
But why would he say toenail clippers? Why wouldn't he say fingernail clippers?
Because toenail clippers are stronger.
Walk around.
Are they?
Yeah, they're like bigger and thicker and stronger.
Walk around backstage, see little boomerangs.
Right. If I see little clippings.
And then you know what happens.
Exactly.
Okay. So is it one of the guys from Creeps with Kids? The comedy act coming February 7th and 8th.
Rob Kelly's in studio tomorrow.
We could ask
and
him.
And 14 is in studio on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Is it Richard Marx on February 20th?
Don't drink nothing.
Oh, Richard Marx.
Jim Messina coming on March 12th.
Mm. Hippie.
Or Ben Folds on May 10th.
Ben Clips.
Let me go with Ben Fold.
Actually, you're right.
Wow.
That was pretty good.
Why did you guess that?
Yeah, why did you guess that?
Well, because May 10th is open for me. The other dates are full.
May 10th is open.
See, it'll be a calendar.
That's hysterical.
Hey, that's a good way to plan it.
Hey, it worked.
Yeah, it did work.
Very nice.
Very good.
A good show.
And so we don't know the answer to why toenail clippers.
I don't know the answer.
Try
I just know
one
that
time.
it's on his rider.
Just ask
that
once.
He has both tequila and toenail clippers.
Right.
And I don't know if they're related or not.
Well, what are you saying, Phil?
I need him on hold so I can get the information.
Oh, gotcha. So we had some intel coming in here.
Phil looked like a cheerleader for a second. He's going to push with his hands.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
That means push it back.
Ross and Trumbull.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey
Ross,
how you doing?
Trumbull, how are you?
Allie with the Ridgefield Playhouse is here. She's going to give you the clues.
Okay. Which band needs, in addition to a band dressing room, a star dressing room, and a production office, a special chill room?
Okay. It's just a chill wine?
It's just a hangout, I guess.
Chill,
they just
man.
Want a room.
It's chill. Like, chill out.
It's like chill, man.
And they put chill, the word chill, in quotes. So
right,
it's like their chill room.
Right.
And I hate to, when they get here, I'm going to be like, okay, we only have two rooms. So,
right. So, one of
so which one would you like to chill in?
The chill parking lot. The chill parking lot?
Is it Mandy Moore and Dawes coming on Ooh. March 28th? Is it Squeeze?
Wait, did I hear a woo back
Ooh,
there?
Yeah. Mandy People, Moore.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I grew up on Mandy Moore.
That's so funny.
I'm freaking out.
I'm freaking out, man.
We need chill room, man.
How many
like
songs can you name by her?
Not that many, but
okay.
She did a lot of movies. Look, she did Crush.
Wow, you grew up on her.
She
you
did
you
Crush.
Can't name one song?
She
and she's married to the guy from Dawes.
What?
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 The band Dawes.
The Walk to Remember with that sad song.
Yeah, Ross and Trumbull's going, what the hell, man?
Okay, yeah. Sorry, Ross.
Sorry, Ross. So, I was freaking out.
Mandy Moore.
Is it Squeeze on February 21st, Johnny Lang on April 22nd, or Todd Rundgren on May 26th and 27th?
I'm going to say Johnny Lang.
It is not Johnny Lang.
Oh.
Oh.
But we're excited he's coming back.
Yes.
We love Johnny Lang.
He's
That's
great.
A good show.
He's
yeah.
awesome.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry.
Wow, there's a lot of Todd Rundgren, too.
Yep.
Got some great shows coming.
Good shows.
All right. Sorry, brother. Dave.
Yes.
What's your guess?
Great show, think? Guys.
Thank you, brother.
Jim Messina.
That was from the last category. He's not an option this time around. Yeah. So you got Mandy Moore, Squeeze, and Todd Rundgren.
We got to go with Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, no, it's not Todd Rundgren.
Hello, it's not me.
Yep. Hello. It's
Are there fine. Still tickets available for all these shows?
Yeah. And Todd Rundgren, we're doing two nights of. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Marcy.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
My guess, and I'm hoping I'm right, is Squeeze.
So it is Squeeze on February 21st.
Yay!
Crazy sold-out show, but we're going to be adding a date with them in the summer. So
will she get tickets to the sold-out or the summer?
She can choose. The sold-out would be standing room, or the summer would be, we'll get her seats because it hasn't gone on sale yet.
Oh, nice.
Right. Yeah.
Cool.
And they play all the hits.
Play everything.
Yep.
Wow. And that show always, every time we book it, it's like sells out like that.
Now, so they've always wanted the chill room, or is any of this new?
I don't recall a chill room in the past.
Right.
We've had them before, and I don't recall seeing that we needed a specific room for them to chill. I mean, most people call it like a green room. Like, this is what we want in the green room.
Green,
but they
white
want their
chill.
Own. They don't want, because the green room is also kind of a public
everybody,
space,
production,
right?
People, playhouse staff.
They want their own.
This
space.
Is a chill room.
Yeah, your chill room is a bathroom.
Separate from their dressing room. Sounds so much cooler, though.
Chill room.
Right.
Well, it would be interesting if they got there and got really upset because they didn't have a chill room.
Right.
Because that would be proof they needed a chill room.
Exactly.
Like, wow, you guys really do. You're right.
Yeah.
We need to get you a chill room.
Get off the damn roof.
Yeah, right away. High school drummer plays Pornhub theme at pep rally.
It is peppy.
I didn't even know they had a theme.
Yes. I had no idea. What is this Pornhub you speak of?
Who uses Pornhub? Say aye. I knew it.
Ashley, come on.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, fine.
Come on. I remember one time.
Doesn't make you a bad person.
I was scrolling through and I came across it by accident. I just kept on moving. Yeah,
right.
I said, yeah, that was it. Yeah. That was it. I didn't even know porn had a theme. And what I want to know is
when does the theme play? It doesn't play when you go on the site.
Maybe in your heart it plays.
or something else.
Yes, yes. Something that rhymes with heart.
So over the weekend, a video started to go viral of a high school student who allegedly played the drum part of the Pornhub community intro at a school rally. Fellow students are seen in the clip absolutely losing it, so all the kids know the theme.
Yeah, so how did somebody else know that?
Right.
The administrator said, wait a minute, that's a point about
it. Hold it, wait a minute.
That's a point.
Wait, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, I've heard this before. It's my ringtone.
Let's hear it. I have heard that.
That could be anything.
I didn't know it was a theme.
Very, very white.
You put the sound up?
Hey.
I was going to make a joke that they played at the end of the videos and you just never made it there.
Right. that would be
good.
True.
That is good. That's it.
Okay.
Huh.
Nice. But if you just play the drum part, would you recognize that?
No.
I don't think so.
No. I wouldn't.
Yeah. So I was thinking of that song by was it Sublime? Love What I Got. That one. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Something like that.
You play that again?
Mm-hmm.
There is a Sublime song. I don't think it's that one. There's another one on the album.
Right.
That sounds like that.
Yeah, but it's got that kind of riff.
Yeah.
By the way, to any management people in the building listening, I got this from YouTube.
His own personal account.
YouTube.
There are more memos going out now, Phil.
Are you the producer?
YouTube does have the theme. I didn't have to go to the website for this.
You're like Memo Man.
We know it's YouTube. Okay. This is very similar. We took this
trip to Garden Grove. I don't know if that's... Man. Oh, yeah.
If
I mentioned I hate iTunes.
You mentioned it several times.
I think I've heard that before.
Every single time you go on iTunes, you mention how much you hate iTunes. But that's interesting. How I want to know is how did someone in the audience know that was Pornhub? And who was it? Was it an administrator? Was it a teacher? Was it like the local chaplain?
Probably not him.
Right. That's a cool song. This is Sublime. Well, Sublime's the same album.
That should be the theme. It's the Ballad of Johnny Butt.
See? There you go. See,
but, that's the name of the song. It's the Ballad
of Johnny
Butt. One
of the categories on Pornhub, I'm guessing. Yeah.
Should we have that sting for in between every phone call?
Yes.
Ooh, right? I like
fun. We end the call. Okay, thanks for calling.
Oh, sorry.
Yep. Way to go. Wasn't ready. Yep.
All right. AJ makes a joke that no one laughs at.
You will never have someone. You won't have to play it ever. Just so you know, it's going to die in the vine from all the jokes that I have here.
Ashley gets excited about a celebrity that no one cares about.
Or we can play in between each flubble.
Let's go ahead and say something. Can I say? Okay.
All right.
Here we go. There were 35 kids. That's on Thursday. There were three. Well, he thought there was, you know, the condoms had a size for it, so. It was going to be a lot better, but I got messed up. You know, she misquoted words. She meant to say, she didn't mean to use the word up in there.
What's happening?
She said, blow up the White House. She forgot. She didn't want to say the word up in there. Worst case of bad scenario. Yeah, I didn't come out right at all. Did I tell you how much I love you guys? It ain't going to happen.
I tried so hard not to laugh before because he said the degree in Guilford. I went right into my traffic report.
pitch bloody well. Gosh darn it, damn it. The driver's going to need the dryer sheets for when he washes his pants afterwards. The diapers for now. It's happened. Recorded by someone named some guy named Arrow.
AJ, you have to admit this is funny.
Not the first 1,000 times I heard it.
This is just the top 10 list today.
Coughing sneeze into a tissue. If none's available,
it's a tissue.
Steer clear of those with flu like Simpsons. Nipples near. But go for it. And the vitamins and minerals found in fruit and vegetables.
I need another box of tissues.
How are you doing?
Tissues.
I have run out of tissues in here.
We're out of toilet paper.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.